Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
How well can you truly know someone? You believe you know them, heart and soul. You know their patterns, their ways of thinking, their behavioral traits. But can you really know what's going on deep inside their head? The case I have today is one of the most well-known and most disagreed-upon cases in recent history. The death of Kathleen Peterson. Welcome to another intriguing episode of All Things Mysterious, the podcast where all the realms of true crime, supernatural, and the unexplained converge. I'm your host, Jordan.
I'm Matt.
We're ready to plunge into today's fascinating mysteries. Let's dive right in. It's a cool December night. You and your wife have some alone time before you need to head to bed. So you decide to have some wine by the pool and talk about life. After a couple hours, your wife decides to head to bed before you do so she can wake up in the morning to work. You stay up a little longer, smoking a pipe, then head inside, but immediately find your wife in a pool of blood at the bottom of the stairs, barely breathing, and call 911. It appeared as though Kathleen had fallen down the stairs, and Michael Peterson said there were 15 to 20 stairs when she'd fallen down in the 911 call. There was a pool of blood at her head, blood spatter up the walls of the hallway and stairwell, and Kathleen was pronounced dead at the scene with 7 lacerations to her head. Michael had some blood on his shorts, but there was no blood on the ceiling.
This one really sounds familiar. This wasn't from too long ago, was it?
It's from 2001. However, it's a huge case. It's huge. There's a Netflix documentary on it called The Staircase. I know I've watched it. I know a lot of other people have. It's very well known. It's hugely disagreed upon, talked about. It's huge.
And this may be a spoiler. This may just made me conflate in 2 different cases. But is this the one where they suspected he killed her because he had a mistress?
Not a mistress.
The name sounds familiar, but I just can't. Pretty sure I've heard this before, but I can't remember.
Although definitely they did suspect him, for sure.
I don't know. We talked about this before, and when a spouse gets killed, it's usually the other spouse, but it's already not looking good for him. So
generally, it doesn't. After an autopsy was performed and blood spatter analyzed, authorities were certain that Kathleen had been murdered, and obviously Michael, her husband, was the culprit. But they couldn't find the murder weapon, which they decided, based on the lacerations, was a fireplace blowpoke, which they did eventually find and test, but it did not have her blood on it. The theory was that Kathleen had found out Michael had been cheating on her with men, and either they had an argument about it or Michael just didn't want her to know at all. So he attacked and killed her at the top of the stairs, trying to make it appear that she had fallen by herself.
Okay, so that's why he's claiming that she just fell down the stairs.
Correct.
And obviously they know that's not what happened.
So they say.
If they're saying that it's a firewood poker, I'm pretty sure they would have kind of evidence that it was.
So Kathleen's injuries were interesting. Technically, the ME found that she had lacerations, and they believe it was blunt force trauma. But the interesting part was, like, her skull and her brain weren't actually damaged. Just a bunch of lacerations. She also had a bunch of cuts and stuff on her arms and legs, and they, all of them, found that really sketchy. They were like, there's no way when you just fall downstairs that you're going to have all these cuts and there's not going to be all this blood everywhere. Which, fair, I can understand that. But at the same time, Kathleen had a bunch of wine in her system. She also had taken her sleeping pills for the night. That's going to make you a lot more clumsy than usual.
Yeah, I still think he did it.
You are not the only one, by far.
Let's see what else you got, because the story is not pissing me off yet. And I know you very well. I'm sure there's going to be a part somewhere in here where you're pissing me off.
This wasn't the first death by staircase that Michael had been around. He had a friend, Elizabeth Ratliff, that died in her home in Germany while they both lived there by falling down the stairs and bleeding out after an unknown diagnosis of von Willebrand's disease. After Kathleen's suspicious death and realizing Michael had ties to Elizabeth, they decided to do a second autopsy on Elizabeth, and they believe she too died of blunt force trauma.
Yeah, now this is bringing back memories.
I had a feeling you'd recognize it. It's a really big case.
Yeah, and then he never actually got convicted for either one of them.
Yes and no. Elizabeth's case is still open.
Yeah, but
he wasn't even in the home at the time, I don't believe.
Supposedly. Either this guy is very unlucky, or two people he knows dies the same exact way, or the simplest answer, and probably the correct one, is that he did it.
Maybe. I've got a very interesting theory, at least about Kathleen, that we'll eventually get to.
We'll see. Your theories haven't been past the negative scale lately, so we'll see how it goes.
Oh, did I tell you? I came up with a new grading scale for you.
Awesome, awesome, and super awesome.
Can't wait to use it later.
Joke's on you, I don't actually have any theories.
On October 10th, 2003, Michael was found guilty of first-degree murder, but this is far from the end of this wild ride. The blood spatter analyst, Dwayne Deaver, that really helped cement Michael Peterson's fate, was found to be a fraud. 34 of his cases, he falsified evidence, leading the FBI to go back and check his other work. This ultimately caused Michael Peterson to be freed and a new trial to be arranged.
All right. So I wasn't paying attention. Falsifying evidence?
Okay. So his name was Dwayne Deaver, and he was the blood spatter analyst that looked at all the blood spatter on the crime scene. So he's the one who more or less put Michael behind bars, right? He's the one that gave his testimony and basically said, looking at this blood spatter, we can say for sure this is what happened. He obviously hit her over the head with something hard, probably a fireplace blowpoke, even though we found the fireplace blowpoke. I can't say that word. I give up. Anyway.
Why don't you say fireplace poker?
I don't know. It's been a long day. Anyway, they found it. They tested it. Nothing came of it. So they never actually found a murder weapon. They never found one. But anyway, he tested a bunch of things and he decided, based on blunt force trauma, that the blood spatter along the walls and along the stairs and everything else, it was all blunt force trauma. But another case that he had testified on a couple years later in 2003, their defense attorney found that he was falsifying evidence. Going back on that, the FBI had to go back and check Duane's other work, realizing then that Michael Peterson's case was on that. And his was one of the many cases that basically Duane had completely falsified evidence on. He had not actually done any work in blood spatter analysis at all. he basically completely falsified it, which ultimately let Michael Peterson go for them to arrange a new trial.
Couple things. The fact that the poker doesn't have any blood on it doesn't necessarily mean anything. You soak that thing in bleach for a little bit, there's going to be no evidence of any blood on it anyways.
No, but they didn't find any other weapon either.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that poker could have been the murder weapon. He could have just cleaned it really well.
Maybe, but they found her immediately.
Or so they think. How long would it take to clean a poker? Probably a minute.
Not with getting all the blood off of it.
All you're going to do is put it in the bathtub and put a bunch of bleach in there, let it sit for a minute, take it out. They obviously didn't find it with the fireplace, so you probably hid it somewhere.
No, I think they found it eventually in the garage, and it was like dusty and covered in everything else. So when they found it, it was very uneventful.
Yeah, but if you're trying to hide it, that's not that hard to do.
No, it's not. And honestly, whenever I was going through all of this, everyone was like, oh, it's got to be the fireplace poker. It's got to be. And then they found it and it was like, this actually doesn't match at all because it didn't match the right shape because it was. And it's just weird because, like I said, they all thought it was blunt force trauma, but there was no actual injuries to her skull or her brain, just her scalp, just like lacerations. And she basically bled out. So it's just really bizarre because if she would have had blunt force trauma for sure, there would have been like breakage to the skull.
I don't know. The fact that they didn't find any blood on it just doesn't necessarily tell me that it wasn't the weapon. Because obviously he had time to, if he murdered her, and then I'm assuming that he's the one who called the police.
Yep.
So unless he found her like right away, which it doesn't seem like he did, you use that time as he was cleaning up after himself.
But then why would he have allowed them to find blood on his shorts?
So a person who just committed murder, they're going to be like, hey, if I just found my wife who looks like she fell down the stairs, of course I'm going to rush over to her and see if there's anything I can do right now while I'm calling the cops.
Yeah, but it was like spattery.
And maybe he made a mistake. I don't know. But it just, I don't know. This guy just seems guilty. I don't know for what reason. I'm sure there's more to the story that you're going to tell me. But I even remember seeing this trial and it just, he seemed guilty.
See, I personally think otherwise. I actually think he's innocent.
This was back, man, when I was a kid. He never really seemed like he was sad by her death, almost.
To be fair, he also had somebody on his team that falsified evidence, so I would be angry too.
Yeah.
And if you were innocent and everyone says that you're not, you would be angry.
Yeah, but it wasn't really anger that I saw from him. It was more like annoyance that he was having to deal with this type thing. And again, take this for a grain of salt, because this is all from my memory from 23 years ago now.
It's been a long time.
But I just remember thinking, even as a kid, because that's the one that I'm getting back now, is that this was a highly publicized case.
Very highly publicized.
And I remember seeing news stories, because if I remember right, when did this actually happen?
2001.
What? Yeah, but when?
December.
That's why, because it was right after 9/11. And sorry, when the 9/11 started dying down a little bit, then this came up and that became like the national focus.
It was really big. And then the trial happened in 2003 and then it popped back up in 2017.
Yeah, I don't remember the 2017, but I don't know. I just always got the feeling that he was guilty. He seemed like, it seemed a lot like the O.J. Simpson thing. Obviously, we know he did it.
I don't know. Personally, I don't think that he did. Granted, I will tell you, this is not something I suggest, but I did actually find the photos of Kathleen's body, which is not a pretty sight. Do not recommend that. I was actually looking for just the pictures of the blood spatter. Ended up finding those. Not pretty, but just like, I could see the way that she had fallen, and I could see that totally happening. Especially, frankly, if you're a little wine drunk, I could see that happening, especially if you're anything like me. I have no coordination.
Yeah, but so here's the thing.
Especially if you've taken some sleep meds too.
Yeah, but she's lived in that house for how long before this happened?
That doesn't mean anything. You've seen me literally trip over sunlight.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is she probably drank wine every night because usually wine drinkers, they drink wine every single night. I've never seen a wine person drink wine like once a month or something. It's usually every single night.
I'm a wine person.
That explains a lot. But my point is that she probably drank wine constantly, at least once a night, let's say. It probably wasn't the first time that she took sleeping pills with the wine.
I mean, true, but it only takes a second to slip.
Yeah, but the odds of that happening just seem too convenient to me. I don't know. That just doesn't make sense to me. His kind of demeanor during the trial didn't really make sense to me. I just always felt off. Like, even, and this was back when I was, 13, 14 years old.
A youngin.
Yeah, even I could feel something was off about that. But I just, there's too many things that don't make sense to me in this. And the fact that his friend dies the same exact way, that is too big of a coincidence. The fact that two people he knows very well die in the same exact manner. And if I remember right, didn't the girl that died, weren't they at one point dating or suspected to be dating?
As far as I know, just friends. He was married at the time to another woman.
Yeah, that's what it was. And obviously, it was probably just a rumor. But one of the things was that they were saying that they were having an affair.
I've heard that was never confirmed, anything like that. And then he ended up adopting his ex-wife's kids. And it's a whole thing I'm not going to get into because, dear God, that's a complicated one that I wasn't even going to try. Because, Lord, I will say his family still believes that he's innocent.
And his family, that's normal. But I don't know. And I'm not sitting here saying that he's 100% guilty, because I don't know. But it's just too many oddities that don't make sense to me for him to be innocent. Not saying that he's not innocent, but I'm just saying too many oddities.
I have one theory that might blow your mind on this one. Maybe.
Aliens.
Maybe. It's not alien.
It's always aliens.
So, after all of this happened, in 2017, they had their new trial, and Michael entered what is called an Alford plea. Basically, an Alford plea is an acceptance that there is enough evidence to convict you, but you still maintain your innocence. He was sentenced to 86 months in prison, but because he had already served 89 of them, he was let go to be free.
Okay. So, I know the justice system is fucked, and a lot of people take plea deals, basically get out of prison earlier, blah, blah. However, and of course, I mean, I've been in this situation, so a lot of things, I don't necessarily know how I would react. I just know how I think I would react, and I don't think I could ever plead guilty.
That's the thing. An Alford plea is not pleading guilty. You're still maintaining your innocence. You're saying you are innocent, but there is enough evidence to convict you of being guilty.
Yeah, and that's one of those things where it's like saying you can still say that you're innocent, but you're going to accept the fate, basically.
Basically, yes. I would like to cover another case of an Alford plea at some point, but it's another complicated one.
It's basically just admitting that you're guilty.
It's basically saying the circumstances make it look like I've completely been screwed over. And I know that no matter what I do, the circumstances make it look terrible for me, but I still maintain that I'm innocent.
Yeah, but still, it's admitting that you're guilty. And again, that's the one thing that I'm going to say is that this is all my personal opinion based on this whole thing in the criminal justice system. Because I know one thing is that you never admit guilt unless you're guilty. Me, personally, if I was in that situation, I wouldn't even want to be remotely thought of being guilty. I would fight it basically till my death. Ultimately, you ask anybody, any normal person who sees that, they're going to say the same thing. Obviously, he's guilty because he took a guilty plea.
See, I see the exact opposite. I see that there's enough evidence to make it look bad. Because I can easily see, I'm thinking of another case off the top of my head that there is an Alford plea, which I know for a fact, because evidence was found later on letting these specific people be free, that they had accepted an Alford plea on, because other people within the justice system had specifically collected evidence to make them look bad. And they did. And this was back in the 80s, I believe, because I really wanted to cover this case, but I haven't gotten to it yet.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. And if that's the one that I'm thinking of, we can both agree that those were definitely different circumstances.
They are, but it's still an Alford plea.
Yeah.
It still is. You are saying that they have the circumstances to convict you, but you are maintaining an innocent plea.
Yeah. But we can both agree that those were two entirely different circumstances, and to classify them as the same.
Oh, they are definitely different circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah, this one circumstance, which that's all I'm talking about. I'm not talking about in general. I think the whole idea of the plea is just stupid. It's just basically a way for them to keep up their conviction rate and try to make these people seem like they're getting a good deal when they're really not.
I need to look up the origins of the Alford plea.
I guarantee I know where it started, or at least the reason it was set up. But ultimately, in the law's eyes, it is no different than a guilty plea. It's exactly the same, which is why, to me, it really doesn't deserve a distinction, because it is the exact same. It is no different than if you plead guilty. The only difference is you're not technically admitting guilt.
Nope, no guilty plea.
But the law treats it as such. Ultimately, it is a guilty plea. And it's just putting lipstick on a pig, trying to make it seem better than what it actually is.
I think it's a little different, but...
in the law's eyes, it's the same, because whether you, it's all, you know, what offer...
time served and whatnot.
Yeah, it's, you still get the same amount of time you would if it was a guilty plea.
See, I don't think so, because originally he got a life sentence without parole.
Yeah, but it's a plea deal. Ultimately, what is the prosecutor wants to keep up their record?
The FBI should watch their people a little closer.
This was a state case, not a federal case. I know the FBI got involved because of the tampering or the fraud.
That was the FBI.
What?
The FBI agent, dude.
Oh, I thought he was just a consultant.
Yeah, he's the one who screwed that up.
Oh, yeah. So I don't think the FBI was actually involved because they went to federal case.
No, it wasn't a federal case. But yeah, he was the expert witness or whatever. And he's the one who super screwed that up.
They just got involved because of the state can't. Because my guess is the prosecutor hired them.
Yeah.
They can't.
Mr. Duane over there really didn't have any actual experience in blood spatter analysis, and he pretended he did.
I mean, you would think they would investigate a little further than that.
He falsified it. He made it look like he did.
I mean, you could falsify it to a certain extent, but if you really look into it, you're not going to take the FBI long to figure out that.
Think about how long and how much 34 cases they had to redo.
Yeah.
34.
And that's probably just the ones that they felt were good enough to redo.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I guarantee you, the way that these things work is if there's another case where his testimony may have played a part, but there's other evidence that would have convicted, they weren't going to overturn those ones.
Nope.
Ultimately, a guilty plea is a guilty plea. We can call it a special name, whatever we want, but it's still a guilty plea.
I'm going to call it what I want to call it.
I know.
I'm going to be difficult.
I know.
I live to be difficult.
So do I, which is why I'm saying he's guilty, because he took a guilty plea.
I still think he's innocent. That's just me, though.
Yeah, as most of you know, I usually enjoy taking down Jordan's theories. This one I'm going to enjoy. I think, honestly, this is the first case that we've done where we've actually been on opposite sides.
Because we are really on opposite sides on this one.
Oh, 100%. And I usually like to take Jordan's theories down just for the fun of it, because it's fun.
This is true. I can't wait to have your episode, though, because I have a whole new grading scale in my head, and I'm excited to use it.
It's okay. With as many episodes as we're recording that you'll probably totally forget by the time we're...
No, I've had this in my head for a week now. I'm using it.
It's okay. I'll just cut it out.
Thanks, buddy.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Complete your staining project with Pittsburgh Paints and Stains now at Menards. Stain in one coat with Ultra Advanced Semi-Transparent Stain. It's a stain and sealant in one that can be applied to damp wood and on hot, sunny days, allowing you to clean and stain your deck in one day. Save big money on Pittsburgh Paints and Stains and head into Menards to get your staining project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
All right, so you're going to like the first one, obviously. Michael killed Kathleen. He was upset that she had either found out about his secret gay life or they had an argument about it, and he attacked her in the staircase, hoping to make it look like an accident.
Okay, so I want to make one thing clear before this. The fact that I think he's guilty has nothing to do with the fact that he's possibly gay.
Actually, he identifies as bi, for the record.
Okay, I want to make that perfectly clear. My thought that he's guilty is based on, like I said, how he acted during the trial.
Yeah, just evidence.
Yeah, and it's just my personal feelings. Like I said, the fact that he's got two people died the same exact way that he knows is too much of a coincidence to get over for me. But anyways, 100%, we've talked about this before. Sometimes the simplest answer is the correct answer. And there's also the chance that they could have messed up and it was actually an accidental death. I don't think so, because that would be something that today they would be able to figure out that it wasn't an accidental death. And that would have been, hey, it was actually an accidental death. It wasn't murder. Because very rarely do they get that wrong. Usually it's the other way around, where they'll call it an accident when it was actually murder. Very rarely do you see it the other way around, though.
You have a point. You do have a point.
First off, I think we can obviously say that she was murdered, because I think we can agree on, based on the evidence so far, that especially 23 years later, if it was an accident, some medical examiner or someone would say that. Because obviously medical examiners can make mistakes, not disputing that. But such a high profile case, somebody would have looked at it and been like, hey, this was actually an accident. So, well, under the assumption that it was murder, obviously, we talked about it before, the most likely suspect is the husband or the wife.
I do agree. If she was murdered, it obviously was Michael, period. Like, hands down. If she was murdered, it was Michael, period. Personally, I don't think she was murdered. I think it was a tragic accident, but that's just me. That's my personal opinion. I know that you don't like it, but that's my personal opinion.
Oh, no. I respect that. Don't get me wrong. Like, my personal opinion, it is murder, just because there's too many oddities that don't make sense if it was an accident. Because two people die the same exact way that you know personally.
Yeah, but also we have to keep in mind that Elizabeth Ratliff also had von Willebrand's disease. So any fall that she took was going to be 100 times worse. She had no idea because it wasn't diagnosed until the autopsy.
Yeah. But realistically, how many people fall down the stairs a year?
Probably a lot.
But ultimately, it's not a super... I would say that's probably one of the more rare deaths that there is, falling down the stairs and dying. And the fact that he's had two people that he knows die the same exact way.
I would agree. I don't think that it's anything common. I think that it's a really weird coincidence, but it was 1985 when Elizabeth fell down the stairs and 2001 when Kathleen did. So there's quite a bit of time frame in between there. And obviously one of them happened in Germany and the other happened here. I know houses are built a lot differently over there as well.
But you know how many people I know that have fell down the stairs and died?
I don't know any either personally, but I know I personally have fallen down the stairs and injured myself. It's really easy.
Falling down and injuring yourself is different than falling down and killing yourself, though.
You have a point. You have a point. But neither of us have a blood disorder.
No, but his wife didn't either, though.
No, but she was also drunk and on sleep aid.
Yeah, but that's not gonna make the injuries any worse. In fact, that would actually make the injuries less severe.
Maybe. Well, I have a good theory coming up.
Like how, like, in DUI cases, when they get in an accident, how they're usually the least hurt and a lot of times not even hurt at all?
No.
It's actually a thing where, and the reason is, especially in car accidents, the reason why you actually get hurt is because you tense up.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
And since drunk people have less reaction, they don't tense up. So if she was drunk, falling down the stairs, she wouldn't actually get hurt as badly as she would as if she was sober. Because you can't. Your reaction is way slower. So by the time you actually react to you falling down the stairs, you're going to be at the bottom of the stairs. And actually, surprisingly, our bones and stuff are pretty strong until we tense up and put pressure on them.
That's true. Because I've been rear-ended and I just barely saw it happen at the last second. And God, that hurt.
That's the thing. If you've ever been in an accident where you just didn't see it coming, you're not going to get as hurt as you would as if you saw it coming and you tensed up. So that's why I don't think it may have contributed to her falling down the stairs, but I think it would have done the opposite and she wouldn't have got hurt as bad if she fell.
Yeah, but does it matter on head laceration?
That's the other thing that doesn't make sense to me. Because if you're falling down the stairs, how'd you get lacerations?
Bottom of the edges of the stairs. I have a theory that covers that.
All right. Because do they have razor blades on the end of the stairs?
Yeah. Don't you know that houses are built with those? They're equipped.
I mean, it just doesn't make because it's just wood. It's not like it's anything sharp.
And that's a lot of the reason why they convicted him as well. They were like, this doesn't make a lot of sense.
And then depending on what kind of stairs they have, they could just be fully wood stairs, which usually those have rounded edges anyway, so no sharp parts there. It could have been carpeted.
I believe they were wooden stairs.
And then they also have the other option. Maybe they had one like the carpet runner along the stairs where, you know, the edges are wood.
Right. And I think, I can't remember for sure now that I'm thinking about it. I think they also had like wood paneling on the sides.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what it's called. Not like railing, not a handrail, but like the wood paneling with the raised edge kind of.
Yeah.
Could have hit her head on that too. Wainscoting, is that it? I don't know the fancy names. My house was built in 1943, man.
My main point is that I don't think something like this is... Okay. So my main point is there's nothing on those stairs. And I could be totally wrong. This could be one of those weird, like, twisted serial killer houses where it has freaking... Or it could just be really old. I don't know. But usually there's nothing sharp that could cut you on the stairs. And then I would have to see the actual photos of a crime scene. But if she's going to cut yourself on the stairs, technically you should be able to see exactly where she cuts herself because everything before that will be no blood. And then all of a sudden there'll start being blood, which my guess is they didn't get any of that.
Yeah, it's got an interesting batter pattern.
And that's the other thing. Oh. Technically, there shouldn't be any blood spatter either. Okay, so typically when you have blood spatter, it's because someone hits you and then fling the object back and the blood sticks to the object and then splatters back.
Right. Which there was none on the ceiling and there were some on the walls, but nothing high.
So automatically doesn't make sense to me because the only way that I could see that happening is if the blood was on the stairs and then he threw her down the stairs again and her head hit the blood that was already there.
Like it's a really weird pattern, but I'm saying it doesn't make a lot of sense. And something else I was thinking about is it's a stairwell. He's a really tall guy. Like how are you going to lift something and beat her over the head with it? There's not a whole lot of room there. There was obviously room and he had to have made it work, but I don't know. I don't know how it works. But anyway, I have a theory that's going to cover all of this we get there.
To me, though, like if there's blood spatter on the wall, but low, it almost seems like he would have hit her while she's on the ground, but from the side, like almost like a golf club.
Yeah. Feel free to look up the pictures if you have a second, because it's just really interesting. This is the reason I wanted to do this case. Because there's just so much evidence that doesn't make a lot of sense. And the entire reason I wanted to do this case is the theory that I'm going to present to you. Because I wanted to cover this theory so bad. I wanted to cover it. I wanted to cover it so bad.
That's what I'm saying. That it does have too many inconsistencies and too much weird stuff that even at best, I don't think it excludes him from being guilty in some way.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like, I'm not going to say it's not weird because it's 100% weird. So my second theory was that Kathleen just actually fell down the stairs. She had consumed a decent amount of wine that night and she had taken her sleeping pills. So it's not crazy to think that she could have tripped and fallen by herself. Theory number three, the owl theory. Michael's lawyer figured this one out. And to me, it's actually the most plausible and dirty giving me a look. The theory is, before going inside for the night, Kathleen took out the trash or otherwise went outside and was attacked by an owl. It seems crazy at first, but there are actually numerous accounts of people in the area being attacked by barred owls. And the shape and size of lacerations not only match the spacing between their talons, but the depth. If she was attacked, she would have ran back inside and easily could have passed out, going back upstairs, falling down them backwards, resulting in her death. It would also explain the blood spatter along just the bottom of the stairwell. There was even a micro feather found on her during the autopsy.
I finally found it. Part of the story that pisses me off.
It's my favorite theory. I wanted to cover it so bad. This one is the only one that actually makes some sort of sense to me, because it makes sense because the lacerations aren't like into her skull, right? They're just lacerations. So she would have bled a whole lot, like all over the place, because head wounds bleed like crazy, but they didn't actually break her skull.
Before I get into this theory, it seemed like a cartoon.
Keep this in mind, though. During the filming of The Staircase, the actress who was actually playing Kathleen was attacked by an owl.
Okay. I will be nice, and I will go ahead and say that, yes, the lacerations were from being attacked by an owl. However, that still does not exclude him from killing her. And here's why. Because if you remember, on the first theory, I said the same thing, that falling down the stairs drunk wouldn't necessarily end up in her dying. And in all possibility, it would have resulted in her falling down the stairs and not dying.
Solid chance. But think about if she already had a bunch of blood loss. She's already got all these lacerations. She's not doing good.
Yeah.
And then she falls like backwards down the stairs because she was face up. So the back of her head would have hit. I'm doing all sorts of weird hand gestures. I wish you guys could see. But like she hit the back of her head when she was going down.
Yeah. But here, so in order for those lacerations to have that much of an effect on her, they would have had to, one, cut her jugular or cut an artery for her to lose enough blood. Or she would have then been bleeding for a while for her to lose enough blood to cause her to pass out. And I know exactly what you're going to say, that she was drunk and she had sleeping pills, so that might have expedited the situation.
No, that's actually not what I was going to say. I was going to say, so she was outside, she gets attacked by an owl. She did actually have bits of her own hair in her hands. So she's outside, she gets attacked by an owl, and she's, what the hell is happening? Goes inside, tries to go up the stairs. She's confused, disoriented, both because either she's drunk or because she got attacked by an owl. I'm just saying, if I got attacked by an owl, I would be rather disoriented at that point. I don't know. I thankfully have not ever been attacked by an owl, but I have been attacked by a bird before, and that's scary enough. And then maybe there's blood on her face. Maybe for whatever other reason, she's just, I don't know what's happening. Maybe she slips on a little tiny drop of her own blood going up the stairs. We don't know for sure. And that's an easy enough way to go right back down the stairs. Now, she didn't have any breaks in her skull or anything. However, that would be easy enough to slam your head back down if you were falling back down the stairs.
Well, see, and this is what, have you ever tried rushing upstairs?
Yeah, it doesn't go very well.
How do you actually do it? You are leaning slightly forward.
Yep.
So if she would have passed out, she would have fell face first and then slid down the stairs.
You would think so.
Jordan hates this.
No, it does make sense. You're right. It does.
So what? For argument's sake, let's say the owl thing actually happened. And we'll say that explains the lacerations. But to be fair, I think we have to separate this into two separate events.
No, you do actually have to separate it into two events.
So the owl attack, I will 100% give you. That does make sense. But it doesn't make sense for the actual death. And obviously without the actual crime scene photos, I can't say for sure if she made upstairs and then she fell down. Or if she didn't even make it upstairs at all.
I don't recall there being any blood near the top of the stairs.
See, and so she was on her back with her head and her feet up the stairs, right?
Yes, facing the top of the staircase.
So to me, one thing that could make sense is she got attacked by the owl. She runs upstairs because her husband's upstairs. He uses an opportunity. Hey, she got attacked by an owl. Or she finds hundreds of other reasons why he could have snapped. Maybe it's because she got blood on his floor. Could have been something simple as that. Unfortunately, people have killed for a lot less. And then he just pushes her down the stairs. And then when she lands on the stairs, or let's say he startles her or she startles him and he accidentally pushes her down the stairs. And then he panics and thinks that she's going to have him arrested. And he decides his best case is just to finish the job and kill her. So he takes the poker, uses it as a golf club, and low blows would help to explain the blood spatter being so low.
I don't know. It's just weird. I 100% believe the owl theory.
Yeah, I'm not going to dispute the owl theory.
Because the owl theory makes perfect sense to me.
But I will 100% say that the owl theory does not explain the death at all. I think it could contribute to the death in a way. But I think, like I said, I think technically you gotta consider those two separate events.
I don't know. I haven't thought about that much. I will give you that. I hadn't thought that far because maybe she just lost her balance. She was bleeding. Maybe she slipped and you would think that you would fall forward.
Especially if you're Russian. Because when I'm rushing, trying to get away, I tend to lean forward because you want to go up with the stairs. So you're going to lean forward going up.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it right now, like acting it out in my head. At the same time, I could also see leaning forward, overcorrecting, and trying to lean yourself back.
Yeah.
Because I've done that myself before.
Yeah, but okay. So then the other thing is usually like when someone falls down the stairs, you roll a few times. So the fact that she ended up with her head down, legs up towards the stairs would make just as much sense if she was coming down the stairs and she got pushed and she rolled.
And maybe she was coming back down the stairs. She had gone upstairs so that she could like clean off her head, realized it was worse than she thought, was coming back down the stairs to get Michael and fell.
But see, that's why that doesn't make sense to me, because I'm sure they did look through the entire house, at least try to see if they could see any blood spots.
There was a smear of blood on the door jamb that belonged to her, on the front door jamb, at least.
But again, if she's bleeding
that's
so bad,
not anywhere else.
If she's bleeding so bad that she passes out while going up the stairs, there's going to be blood all over the place.
Right. And that's why this case is so bizarre.
Yeah, because it takes a lot of blood for you to be able where you pass out. So I think we got to look at it as two separate events. I could 100% agree that would cause the lacerations, but I don't think that actually saves him or excludes him being involved in any other way, which is the problem with that theory is it doesn't get him out of the, all it does is explain part of it.
It does. It's just weird to me because she doesn't have any other injuries. She has the lacerations, but she doesn't really have any other blunt force trauma.
What was the official cause of death?
Technically blunt force trauma. So she had blunt force trauma, but she didn't have any actual breaks in her skull. It's weird.
Yeah, blunt force trauma.
So she hit her head really hard, but she didn't hit it hard enough to break it.
No. Like I said, blunt force trauma is one of those things that kind of doesn't really exclude a whole lot, because you can get blunt force trauma from falling on the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
Falling, hitting your head on a rock. And not all of the time has a crack in the skull, because you can die from just hitting your head without breaking your skull.
Yeah. And that was exactly what happened. Like, she fell and she had all these lacerations, and she had lacerations on, I believe, like her arms, but she didn't have any other further injuries.
Yeah. Like I said, I think it does explain the lacerations, and I will give you that it does explain the lacerations.
I was so excited to cover the owl theory. You have no idea. I was super stoked about it.
But I don't think it actually helps him in any way. I don't think it excludes him being involved in her actual death. I think it's one of those theories that kind of explains part of it, but it doesn't explain enough of it. Because either way, he could still be involved or he couldn't be. It doesn't exclude him from being involved in her death.
Yeah. It might be one of those cases where we just never know.
Yeah. It's probably going to be. But ultimately, I will give this theory an O+ for owl.
Creative, thanks. So, did Michael do it? He maintains his innocence all these years later. His family believes it wasn't him, but can you truly know a person? Can you know their motives inside and out? Can you know truly if they will commit murder to protect a secret?
Thank you for joining us on this journey through all things mysterious. Your engagement is what makes this so rewarding. If you've enjoyed uncovering these mysteries with us, please show your support by liking, subscribing, and following us on your favorite listening platform. For more intriguing content and ways to stay connected, don't forget to check us out on our links in the description below. Your involvement is the key to unlocking more thrilling mysteries.
As always, we keep you guessing.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard. So swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.